The following podcast is scheduled for one fall on the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
SummerSlam ends in controversy and blood and sets the tone for tonight's show, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Wednesday, August 24th. Thank you, Hunter, for that beautiful intro, as always. And to the beautiful people that are sitting here in front of me, thank you guys for being here as well.
Yay.
Hi.
To my left is Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Who I'm proud to say is back on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. And next week, we'll have a special formal apology for announcing his retirement.
What?
Which will be written by him.
What?
In his own words.
In his own words, which I will have nothing to do with. Next week, stay tuned for Dalton Anthony's formal apology.
What?
Down at the end of the table, we have Asa Gray, the five-star man.
Yep.
Who is in his NXT... No. What are you in? Your
this
Nexus
the
shirt.
Punk, yeah.
Yeah, the CM Punk Nexus shirt. Love that shirt. It's a great shirt. And next to him is Ali Abair in her Rebel shirt. Who is that, James Dean?
Yes, it is.
Never wrestled.
As far as you know.
You know who did wrestle? Abraham Lincoln.
Vampires?
Do you know Abraham Lincoln actually was a legitimate wrestler?
Yeah, against vampires. There was a movie made about it.
Should we move on? Here's tonight.
Starting to think we need to put a question mark next to that. Dalton will be back next week.
All right, so I said at the top of the show, Brock Lesnar and Orton, they had their violent confrontation, and we have a lot to say about that later on. We also have some other big news in talking about the Cruiserweight division, which I guess they announced some participants. Some big stuff happened on Talking Smack, which I definitely want to talk about, which may have changed the course of one man's career, in all honesty. We're going to talk about TakeOver, SummerSlam, of course, and other important things.
Yes.
Yes. Before we get to that, though, we got a couple of news and notes that we want to run through real quick, and then we'll get to the main event. Here's what I was thinking. We do 10 small stories. We call it the 10 count.
The perfect 10?
Never
mind. NXT tonight, Ty Dillinger had a match, and I don't know if I just always forget it because my brain can't handle the awesome, but his finisher is called the tiebreaker. I don't know if that's new or if I'm just dumb, but I love it.
What I feel bad about is that I did not know CJ Parks and Ty Dillinger were two different people.
Really? CJ Parker?
Parker, yeah. CJ Parker and Recreations. For some reason, I thought it was the same guy because they both look dirty.
No,
that Ty Dillinger doesn't look dirty.
He's a perfect 10.
He's what?
Yeah.
I feel like he should get pushed more then.
Did he beat Blake and/or Murphy?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Like
with
tonight?
With the weird, creepy piano entrance music. I don't remember who.
If talk about somebody that could have really gone up to the main roster and done well in the new tag tournament. Blake and Murphy, if they hadn't split them apart. Because I thought they were a pretty good tag team.
They were okay, but then, like, the Revival comes in and does literally everything they were doing, but 150 times better.
And without the seizure-inducing entrance.
I didn't mind their entrance. Like, yeah, it was over the top, but I think that was the point.
Blake and Murphy's entrance, by the way, brought to you by Porygon, the seizure Pokemon.
And the banned episode of Pokemon. Watch Pokemon X and Y for Froakie, the Pokemon version of Roman Reigns.
Froakie Reigns?
He's like if Roman Reigns and Poochie like did a fusion dance.
When Ash throws the ball out and he pops out, does it go...
No, but I need someone to make that video.
I don't know anybody that has talent with that. Of Calvin, maybe.
Kodu. Yeah.
Maybe Kodu can do it for us. Hey, we got some notes to talk about real quick. You want to talk about some notes?
Yeah.
Here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, where everything is remotely unscripted, despite bullet points. Not like other wrestling podcasts, which may or may not be scripted. We're not sure these days. All right, first thing we're going to talk about. We said this on Thursday show because it actually happened right after we recorded last Wednesday. Eva Marie suspended.
Yep.
If you saw SummerSlam, which, by the way, go watch it because it was pretty good.
Yeah.
There was a lot of great stuff on there. Eva Marie suspended for her first violation of the wellness policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. How do you like the way they did it? Because at SummerSlam, basically what happened is they're continuing the gimmick. Eva Marie was supposed to come out for a match. They did her intro and then said that she was taking time off due to exhaustion.
Exhaustion and
anxiety.
Anxiety from the crowd's fan hostile harassment. Reactions. Yeah. So she wasn't going to be, she wouldn't be competing in the 3-on-3 tag match.
And it makes sense to continue the angle, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
But why didn't they do that for Roman Reigns?
Especially considering that they just full on went with the Roman Reigns suspension. Maybe because that's a much bigger, it's very different having to keep Roman Reigns off of television for 30 days
yeah.
versus Eva Marie.
Especially Eva Marie already had the gimmick of she's not showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
as long as they don't keep, which they didn't on SmackDown, but as long as they don't keep.
Like week after week doing it.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't have a scheduled match.
But I mean, they might as well do that, honestly, because that's going to build up anticipation for the character, which is good because you need anticipation.
But at the same time, like if you're being punished.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't.
And I honestly feel bad for Roman Reigns because we talked about this because they went full out. Dalton, they were all over Raw.
Yeah.
Talking smack about Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins came out and trashed him. Stephanie trashed him.
We're not supposed to talk about it. Here's a pre-made graphic.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part about it too. Be like, wow, they had that queued up.
So they trashed Roman Reigns, but then it's almost like they're giving Eva Marie a pass. Not so much a pass, but man, the level.
Well, they didn't mention her on Tuesday.
Publicity for Roman Reigns' suspension was like just horrendous.
Also, if you believe Eva Marie, it's because of she didn't file certain paperwork in time. Which can still result in the suspension because her husband took it to Twitter and was like, oh, when you find out the real reason, everyone's going to be infuriated.
That sounds so familiar. I swear somebody yeah. said that recently.
But yeah, apparently she just, allegedly she didn't, file her paperwork in time. So it was.
Which we'll never know because they don't divulge the information behind these things. So that may be the case,
which
we'll never know about it.
Asa kind of explained that. That'd be a what kind of violation?
HIPAA
violation if they said what it was.
Then
again, anytime somebody gets popped in the UFC, they flat out say what it's for.
Yeah, and what's really strange is that Alberto Del Rio and
Paige
all popped on the same day
mm-hmm.
for, well, actually,
very
Eva Marie
close.
Was the name of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got suspended for their random test. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar has not been suspended by the UFC.
We'll get there.
Is that on this list here?
No, but I mean, they knew it was coming, so I didn't write it down. But yeah, the USADA and Nevada Athletic Commission suspended Brock Lesnar.
For which the WWE still did not test him, still did not suspend him.
Yep.
Instead, they let him get his incredibly violent ending and then sent him home to rest for a couple of months while, you know, Orton has to rebuild himself as a contender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that later. Eva Marie suspended for 30 days, and I won't miss her.
Nah.
But I will miss looking at her.
But
there's this thing now that I found on the internet, Goggle, and you can go to Goggle, and you can type in Eva Marie, and you can look at her to your heart's content.
And you could see her entrance on NXT, on the WWE 2K, so she looks just as plastic there as she does in real life. Other diva news to kind of steer you away because she was scheduled for that 3-on-3 match on SmackDown or SummerSlam. The replacement that they got for her team was the returning Nikki Bella.
Yes.
Which originally the news, which I think we either did last week or it happened like right after where she was officially cleared to compete again. So.
And I know it's a return. Hunter said this in the, mm-hmm. in the group chat, that legendary PZ85 group chat, which is Nickelodeon right now, that Eva Marie came back. No one's going to understand that. Eva Marie came, Nikki Bella came back and got a big, big reaction at SummerSlam. She mm-hmm. did. It was loud.
Yeah.
But it was a return. And it's mm-hmm. very easy for a return to get a big reaction. She also got a big reaction on SmackDown.
Yeah.
When she came out as the heel and then.
Well, cause she was on the heel team.
Yeah.
But she didn't really wrestle as the heel at all.
No.
Like she won the match.
She kind of smacked hands with the heels. I mean, she didn't act in a heelish manner, but she was also by association a heel.
Yeah.
It was very strange the way that they brought her back in just to turn her face, I guess,
yeah.
and Carmella.
Which
heel.
Actually was a really well done double turn.
It was.
Especially when, you know, cause, I mean, if you want to count it as that, because she
wasn't
was
technically
a heel
anyway.
Yeah, she didn't really act like do any real heel mannerisms. But
it's good that they did that for clarification.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't want that Nikki Bella stage where you don't know what she is.
Yeah, because she just constantly goes back and forth.
Right.
And it also is really good for Carmella too, because now instead of, oh, she's just worse female Enzo.
Yeah.
Now she actually has there's some depth that really can get explored and she can.
Because she wasn't going to make it. I hate to say that, but as soon as they pulled her from Cass and Enzo, she was floundering.
She did need some sort of character switch up.
Yeah.
And I think this is a great way to do it.
It's really the best way. It's like Eva Marie. They're doing the best with it that they can. And,
yeah.
You know, if that equals out to a Nikki Bella Carmella feud, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
And then the last bit of Diva news, Sasha Banks, who lost the championship in a match at SummerSlam, really surprisingly seemed to really come out of nowhere. But she,
the match or the injury?
the result of her dropping the title so quick after just randomly seemingly winning it on Raw.
That match was not good, and by the way.
Which makes a lot of sense when you consider that she is confirmed, like, has a lower back injury.
Yeah.
But Meltzer, reported that she's not actually going to require surgery.
So she had an injury that they knew about.
Yeah.
Clearly, because they, from what I understand, about a week ago, they decided to change the title.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a good idea to go out and have her wrestle the way she did? The Hurricane Rana's off the top rope.
Probably not.
You could tell it was a sloppy match. And there were parts that were really sloppy, and I think it's because she was hurt.
And I would bet money that was her call. She was just, you know what? I'm gonna do the matches that I want to do. You know, I'm already hurt, which is a dangerous mentality to have. But at the same time,
seems like WWE's got a dangerous mentality lately in general.
No joke.
I thought they wrestled a soft style though.
We'll feed you, baby bird. Calm down. That's not the only Divas news, though. And by the way, as soon as she lost the title, so many people were taking to the internet to go, wellness violation.
Well, and it wasn't, I don't think it was because she lost the title. It was because she was removed from the next, all of the house shows for 30 days, which is that number has a weight to it.
30-minute warning.
No. 30-day warning.
30-day warning. But that just shows you how quick people are to rush to the worst possible
outcome.
Scenario.
Yeah. Which is why we kind of skipped the, what do you think Paige got popped for? Because it's so easy to just.
Right. Because it was an injury.
Yeah.
Speaking of Paige, you don't have this written down. I don't know how much we want to dive into this, but Alberto Del Rio's wife.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it.
At all?
No.
You just want to cut that?
That's personal. It's personal stuff, and it's all just internet speculation. There's no real facts to be had, so.
Well, the facts.
I don't want to go full tabloid.
The only facts that I know is that, and this is from her, and I feel like it's slightly newsworthy for us simply because the WWE promoted Alberto Del Rio and Paige. They had pictures of them together. It was almost like they were celebrating it, and we thought it was for Total Divas. We thought this was an angle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, and I'm just going to say it, and we're not going to gossip about it, but his wife filed for divorce and cited adultery back in March. This is when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So for all that time since then, they've been promoting this relationship, and I feel like it could look bad on them.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even that they necessarily really promoted it as much as they put some pictures on Instagram,
which confused the hell out of all of us.
It's not like
because we all said, isn't he married?
Yeah, because they've done stupid stuff like that for Total Divas before. So
the only reason I mention this, I don't want to gossip about it, but I just think it's funny. Not that. But the fact that she said that there may be some adultery involved with these two people that have been posting pictures of them together, constantly talking about how much in love they are. She thinks something might be happening.
Yeah.
You know, that's just funny to me that here's these pictures of her and she's sitting around going, you know what? I think something might be amiss here. That's all. New women's title.
Yeah.
Let's go to that.
Before we get to that, with Charlotte being the face or the champion now, big question was, who's she going to compete against? Because even though the WWE Women's Championship is on Raw, it's Charlotte, Sasha, Nia Jax, and
Dana Brooke.
And especially after TakeOver and her match with Asuka, everyone was clamoring for Bayley to make her appearance, which she did on Monday, debuted on Raw.
Because that ending to TakeOver, I told Allie about it because Allie unfortunately couldn't watch it. It was completely a send-off.
Oh, yeah, it was the send-off. I didn't want to think it was because, especially with her showing up for the, whatever that last pay-per-view was.
Battleground.
For Battleground as Sasha's tag team partner.
Thank you, Dalton.
And it's like, oh no, that's just a one-off thing. She's going to stay on NXT. It really kind of felt like, oh, she's going to stay on NXT for more than a month.
No, she
and
didn't.
Now she's, yeah.
What, one more
Which
match?
Which is great, but she absolutely 100% deserves to be up there finally.
Yeah.
And this could be because of the Sasha injury.
Oh, it's
and
definitely it's because
like,
of the Sasha
thing. It's almost like they kind of went into panic mode because a sudden injury wreaked havoc on an already thin roster.
What are you getting at?
I'm getting at this is exactly what I said when they're like, oh, the Vance Brit. Remember, it's great. This is the best thing to ever happen to WWE. Mm-hmm. And just as long as people stay healthy.
Well, it was a good thing for Bayley. Huh. Good thing for Bayley, because if they would have had the full roster, I mean, Nikki Bella would be challenging for the title right now.
Right.
You know? But now Bayley gets her shot at it because there's no one else on Raw that's ready for it. Alicia Fox, I could see her losing
crazy,
in a month.
Which is crazy because it's like she is the senior female wrestler in all of WWE right now.
Yeah, her and Natalya are the two oldest ones on there, which is crazy.
Not even oldest, just like Alicia Fox has been with WWE the longest.
Yeah, and
she's always been underrated. Yeah, she's always been underrated.
I've always liked Alicia Fox. I really miss when she was teamed up with Zack Ryder for a little while in ECW.
Yeah.
And that, I miss that.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I missed her crazy gimmick from like a couple
That
years.
Was so good, wasn't it?
I loved that.
For like a month. And
yeah,
then
where
like,
she
well,
just did like she stole somebody's soda.
She went full Jenna Maroney.
She went, yeah. like faking she the grabbed JBL's hat and like put it on and started yelling. I mean, it was really good. It was almost like a character.
Huh?
You know? Now we're
here. Before they were allowed to have those.
Before the revolution that Stephanie McMahon and the Bellas brought to the WWE.
Yeah.
You can watch it. There's a special going up on the network about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see that.
Love the fact that the Bella Twins are front and center for that, even though they're the ones that created the Total Divas show.
Now Total Bellas is coming out.
Oh, goody. Moving on.
So there is a new women's title that debuted on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I figure since we're talking Divas, let's just get this out of the way, too.
Yeah.
It is blue and... Is it blue and gold?
No, it's the white strap like the women's championship on Raw, but with the blue black background instead of the
red.
The red.
Yeah,
it looks good. And then also, which they announced that Backlash, they're gonna do a 6-pack challenge
with Natalya, Naomi, Nikki Bella, Alexa Bliss,
and Carmella.
Carmella and
Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch. Yes.
So which will be interesting to see, because even at SummerSlam, the throwaway women's match was. Good.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
Which has not been the case for.
And I think went about 10 minutes.
Yeah. And they actually gave it time, and it was full of people who can actually wrestle.
Yeah.
What kind of sorcery is this?
Yeah. And by the way, that match, I just want to say, I've always loved Naomi, and those kicks.
Oh, my.
Those kicks were so awesome.
The only thing that I wish was better, and it's not her fault, it's just those shoes that light up and change color. I really wish that they would change color with every kick.
They should have
and
someone...
And I know that's something that she can't control. Like, but, I know it's whenever they step, but like...
She should have someone in the back watching with a button that he can press to change the color. Yeah. That should be his job.
That would be awesome.
Give it to Eva Marie.
Give it to her husband. Whichever one of the Usos is married to her. Just
give one Uso each thing and they can work together.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
But that title looks pretty good, and it makes you wonder why they don't just color code or color whatever you say.
Coordinate.
I'm off tonight. I'm not going to lie to
with
you.
With the Universal Championship?
Well, with Raw and SmackDown in general. Like, I feel like now every Raw title should be red and every SmackDown title should be blue.
See, and
which for the most part they are.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely
but
are.
But I don't remember the tag titles on Raw is the only one I can't think of.
It's the black
just
and gold.
The black with the copper. That bronze, copper.
Yes.
And
then
the
on SmackDown, it's blue with
blue strap,
silver.
Dark blue strap and silver faceplates, which looks awesome.
It does look awesome, but I feel like Raw's should be red. Now.
It should be more red, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even just changing the strap and maybe darkening the actual plate.
Oh, no, I want them to make it look like this. Like, I want red and, like, the silver plating, because that new tag title looks slick.
Which,
it does.
And unlike the Universal Championship, SmackDown is just calling it the SmackDown Women's Champion and the SmackDown Tag Team Champion. Which I don't like the SmackDown Tag Team Champion, because I feel like there's no reason they couldn't just bring back the World Tag Team Champion.
Mm-hmm.
You have the WWE Tag Team Champion and the World Tag Team Champion, which has an actual lineage behind it.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they don't want to do that.
Like the Cruiserweight title, apparently it's going to be a new title. It's not the same old Cruiserweight title that they've had.
That Hornswoggle. See, and I don't like that either.
They're introducing a new one.
Yeah.
Even though they have a perfectly good one that they're not using.
Or even their own light heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Like,
I really liked it when they brought in some of the WCW titles. Like the U.S. title is still kicking around. That's not a WWE title. The U.S. title was a WCW title that they brought over. They had the Cruiserweight title for a little while,
mm-hmm.
And I could have sworn the big gold belt was WCW.
Yep. Yeah. The World Heavyweight Championship.
And I miss those because those belts actually look like, I mean, these belts do look good. Don't get me wrong.
Except for the Universal Championship.
But I really miss that old gold belt, man. That looked rich.
Someone on Reddit made it, photoshopped it to where it had just the black strap with the red background, and it looks a million times better.
And then you could easily do that with the blue.
At least it's not the spinner belt.
Except you don't need to do it with the blue because that's the WWE Championship. And just because it's on the SmackDown show isn't just a... Well, and I understand the argument that calling it the SmackDown World Champ or the SmackDown Championships doesn't sound as prestigious.
Yeah.
But the Universal is just too goofy. But we did almost an entire show on that, so.
We did. Yeah. Daniel Bryan's not a fan of that either.
No. Apparently no one.
Shannon.
Apparently no one is in the locker. Like, most of the locker room did not enjoy that.
Except for Mick Foley.
Because he has to.
Mick Foley went out. Well, he did a Twitter rant where he said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly how it went, but he got really upset at the people at SummerSlam.
And so did Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that were chanting at the belt instead of the people in the ring. And he mentioned that, you know, the title that he won, that everyone loved so much, what smelled like piss and beer, and it didn't matter because it was the prestige of having it. It was the hard work you put into it that made the belt. The belt's look itself doesn't matter. He said it's not his favorite, but it shouldn't be what you look at.
While I disagree that there certainly is an aesthetic, like, if it looks stupid, people aren't going to respect it. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
But I also completely agree that they should not have spent the majority of that match, which was really good, singing about the belt, chanting about the belt when that match was happening. That is very disrespectful.
That is.
Well, what did Hunter say is the most embarrassing part of being a wrestling fan?
The wrestling fans?
The wrestling fans. That's absolutely true. They make not all of them, clearly, because we're wrestling fans.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
And we're pretty sane.
Yeah, it's the ones that are trying to take pictures of the divas' butts when they're getting in the ring and...
Did I ever tell you my story about divas' butts?
Yes.
Did I tell you, Allie? I want to share the story real quick. I was at a WWE event in Carbondale years ago, back when Kevin Thorne and Ariel wrestled. So Ariel, I don't know, you've never seen her before, but what she wore to the ring was basically a skirt, but it was super short and a thong. This is back when they used to do things like that. So me and Lindsay are there with some friends and we're watching. And as Ariel, her thing was she would get in the ring, she would like bend over. Mm-hmm. And this guy next to me has binoculars and she bends over and he nudges me and hands me the binoculars. And I'm like, you want to take a look? And I was like, no, thanks. I'm good. And he's just sitting there going like, I'm doing the motion of putting it to my eyes and staring at her ass, just going like, woo! Just look at the
Yeah.
No.
No. No. No. So yeah, the wrestling fans are the worst part about being a wrestling fan. Yeah. Speaking of Raw and SmackDown, new sets.
Yeah.
You confirmed
sources? Mauro Ranallo, tweeted that, because everyone just kind of assumed that the Raw set was the same as the SummerSlam set because they were in the same arena. And then SmackDown had a similar one. It was kind of different with them coming out through the middle instead of the sides. But those are permanent now, which the joke I made in the chat, which if you thought 2K17 was only going to have a crazy outdated roster, here's an extra thing for you.
I don't see how you can say 2K17 has an outdated roster. It has Goldberg. It has Typhoon and Earthquake.
Alundra Blaze, Diego and Fernando.
And Dora.
Los Matadores.
No.
What?
Anyway, the roster reveal this week, the entrance video of Goldberg, I could care less about that character model.
You couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less about that character model and everything, but I am super excited to have a WCW Nitro Arena.
I love that Nitro Arena. I love that Goldberg entrance. That's the most authentic Goldberg entrance I've ever seen. Except for how ripped he is.
My favorite part is it's not as bad as that Samojo action figure.
No, it's not.
You.
That is the dumbest thing.
My favorite part of that entrance is because it does have the police escort them knocking on his door, walking out, and Goldberg comes out and he looks great.
He does look good.
But he's escorted by like PS3 cops. Cause it's just like, they clearly did
they
not.
They look like
put,
GTA 5 like cop rips right from the game. They
kind,
just put it
yeah,
in here.
Yeah, except from the PS3 version. It's very much, I thought it would be hilarious if instead like get some NXT guys who aren't in the game. So like have Ty Dillinger, Blake and Murphy, like have them just put them in police uniforms. Because then it would be authentic.
That would make me really mad if they put Ty Dillinger in only as a Goldberg cop.
Like when they had Austin Aries do the voice for a character years ago, but Austin Aries wasn't in the game.
And a bunch of the
mocapping.
Mocap, yeah.
Well, like the last couple, or like 5-10 years ago, it was all Chris Hero, Colt Cabana, and Austin Aries doing all of the mocap.
Before that, it was the Hardys. I still remember WWF Attitude when it, or no, Warzone when it came out. The Hardys, or maybe it was Attitude, because I don't think they were in Attitude either. But the Hardys did all of the motion cap for it, and they were like, well, are you guys in the game? Well, no.
I mean,
maybe next year.
We are, but yeah. Not us.
We are, but sort of, but not really. Yeah, that the roster reveal this week, I know we talk about this every week, nothing really surprising. They did show some pictures of Sasha Banks, which was pretty cool. She looked great. It's pretty much everyone you'd expect, plus the DLC from last year so far. There have been no big surprises.
American Alpha and the Revival were in this week's.
Revival did surprise me. Yeah. I think American Alpha I wasn't as surprised by, but Revival, that surprised me.
And their character models look really good.
They do. Well, all the character models in the game so far look just amazing. Except for... Wasn't there one we were like, they look off?
I don't remember.
Renee Young.
Oh, I can't wait to see what Baraka looks like this year. The Simtifas from last year. One last thing before the big... Well, two more things. Dudley Boys are officially gone from the WWE.
Yeah, which... So they had this... It was the weirdest segment on Raw.
Yeah.
But it was the only reason I ended up actually staying, because it was like starting right as I was closing up. Because there's been the dissension the last couple weeks. Some miscommunications. It really looked like, oh, they're going to break up the Dudley Boys.
Maybe give Bully Ray his turn finally.
Give a Bully Ray run because he was so good in TNA. And then it turned into just them thanking the New York fans. And like, it was a good, like, it showed that Bubba Ray is really good on the microphone.
Yeah.
And it was genuine and it felt good. And then the Shining Stars came out to interrupt.
Which, surprised they're still on the roster.
Yeah. So they came out to interrupt for no reason other than to get teased putting through a table when Gallows and Anderson came out and just demolished them, ended up putting Bubba through the table with the Magic Killer.
They had to go back to their home planet.
They did.
Also, they died on the way.
So apparently the reason that it didn't end in a Bubba turn is because backstage they thought it had been too long since the Bully Ray character was relevant or a thing. Because they've been in WWE for a full year now.
They have.
So they decided against it, which I think is stupid because you're going to ignore TNA, but then, oh, well, it's been too far gone, so we're just not going to do it.
Well, not only that, but why did they mistreat the Dudley Boys so badly as a tag team?
Because they came in great against the New Day.
They came in hot, yeah.
And then, like, this past week, they didn't even get an entrance.
You know when it really, to me, when the ship was really sinking was when Cass and Enzo made their debut. Because they came in.
That could have been a whole, like, feud.
That could have been an amazing feud. Unfortunately, Enzo got injured almost immediately.
And Cass just beat both of them.
Cass just whooped their asses all over the place and made them look terrible. The Dudley Boys.
Angry Bubba versus Enzo on the microphone. Just give me hours of that.
But they squandered it.
And the way that, and apparently this was, because there was a deal in place that ended up just, they mutually decided against it, from both sides.
Well, if you're the Dudley Boys, I couldn't get out of there fast enough with the way they were treating them lately.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of staying? You know, especially with the revival of the, no pun intended, of the tag division, especially on SmackDown, you'd think they could have done some good. Just like I said with what was their name? Blake and Murphy. Did they have a name? Team Bamf?
No.
I think it was what they were called.
Well, it was that for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And they were like, we should probably take that off the trunks.
Yeah. So it was, they've always just been announced as Blake and Murphy.
Yeah. They all could have done so much good on SmackDown, but or Raw, because I can't think of any other tag teams on Raw.
Shining Stars, Gallows, New Day.
I mean, Shining Stars, you might as well just turn them back, give them a new gimmick, you know.
Bring back maybe that's why they're Diego and Fernando. They're gonna come back
as Los Matadores.
Yeah,
bring back the midget.
No. Thursday show.
We're not doing that.
No,
okay. No.
I lost my point. Oh, and but the reason that it went with the Gallows Anderson is because it leaves it open in case they decide to come back.
Plus, Gallows and Anderson really need a beatdown on their
a win, or something. Yeah. But so it's this way because they're doing it smart where they're leaving WWE. They're not retiring, so they could always the door is open for them to return, which I hope they do because I've always liked the Dudleys.
I hope they don't. Because I don't, well, it's.
I want them to come back, but I want them to be treated well.
I want them to come back and get the respect that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did not like the Dudleys when they first came into WWE. I didn't, because they were ECW, and at the time I was really anti-ECW. I've said this on the show before. I believe Jerry Lawler when he said that ECW stood for extremely crappy wrestling. But the Dudleys won me over very quickly. Just that smash mouth style of brawling and wrestling. They put, alright, so here's what the Dudleys did. How old was Mae Young?
Like 150.
She was like 242, and they put her through a table.
Why?
Yeah,
and because they could,
and not like, and not
gently. Well,
yeah, not like they Bubba. This was back when Bubba would powerbomb, because this was early 2000s. So please keep this in perspective.
Those were the days.
Those were the days where you could get away with this. Bubba was crazier than he is now.
He didn't like women.
He didn't like women. So what would happen is there would be a valet, because this was early 2000s. They had a lot of them, and he would get crazy, and he would powerbomb them from the top turnbuckle onto a table. Like Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
I think at one point, Linda McMahon.
Yeah.
The craziest one was Mae Young. Cause she was literally.
She was legitimately like 85 to 90.
She was legally.
She was like 60s to 70s.
She was an antique at this point.
And like, they put her off a table, off of the stage. Through a table.
And to be fair, she wanted it.
Oh yeah. No, she backstage, cause they were like, okay, well, how about we do it like this? And then like, cause they were he was gonna try to protect her as best he could. She slaps him in the face and says, just put me through the table.
Yeah.
Just Mae Young give it to you.
If you ever want to see Mae Young at her best, I mean, there's a great documentary, I don't know if it's still on Netflix, called Lipstick and Dynamite, which is a fantastic documentary on women's wrestling, especially like older women's wrestling. Really good. Check it out if you can. I don't know if it's still on there.
I don't know if I've actually seen that one. Do they talk about Moolah at all and how she's just the worst human being to ever exist?
I don't think they call her that.
Yeah. If they then that's a terrible documentary if they don't get into how she literally just pimped out. Her wrestling school did not teach anyone to wrestle. They basically just kind of turned them into actual valets. But that's a whole other show.
These are allegations I had never heard before.
Really?
No, oh, I've never heard that.
I'm going to be sending you some reading material.
You need to, because I don't need to know this. But before we get into all that, you got written down here Cody Rhodes. I don't know.
Cody Rhodes.
2SJ?
ZSJ.
ZSJ.
Cody Rhodes.
Oh, Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, he had his debut match for Evolve this weekend. He beat Zack Sabre Jr., and then the next night had a match against Chris Hero, which, Drew Galloway interfered to cost him the match, which really looks like there's going to be a Cody Rhodes, Drew Galloway Evolve feud. Yes, please.
Yeah. Rhodes cut after his, Sabre Jr., he cut a promo where he said, he's like, Galloway, don't think we're the same. You're worrying about your past. I'm only looking at the future. So that's what sparked that. That's why the Chris Hero match interruption makes
And God
sense.
Bless Cody Rhodes. I hope he starts getting some of the traction he should have gotten WWE and never got.
Mm-hmm.
You know he will.
He's better.
He's wrestling, Kurt Angle at What Culture Pro Wrestling in soonish. That's one of the matches What Culture Pro Wrestling has.
I saw What Culture Pro Wrestling on, Botchamania the other day. They had a couple of their events. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Well, one of the ones that they did was mainly on the commentators not being able to sell Ligero.
Clearly, Ligero. Just there it is. Terrible.
Yeah.
I thought it was Spanish for like the liger. Because liger's like my favorite animal.
I don't know. The wrestling on What Culture isn't that bad.
Whoosh. Just over his head. Hey, did you hear Kenny Omega won the G1 climax?
Yeah. And this was actually a couple weeks ago, but, you definitely go out of your way to watch it, because it's rated one of his all-time best matches. He also got on the microphone and challenged Okada and said the only reason he hasn't beaten Okada yet is because he hasn't wrestled him yet. But it's also newsworthy because Kenny Omega is now the first non-Japanese wrestler to win the G1 Climax.
The first Gaijin.
Yeah.
Yeah. AJ Styles said he was jealous of that.
Yeah.
He did an interview recently, I think maybe even today, where he said he was jealous of that.
Mm-hmm.
Also said he never led the Bullet Club. Said Balor started it and led it, and that Omega's doing a great job leading it. I never led it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
I love AJ Styles.
Because Omega did a promo talking about how, like, because another big thing was he didn't wave the G1 flag. He waved the Bullet Club flag, which the crowd did not appreciate at all. But he's like, everyone says that the Bullet Club's over. It's dead. We are the elite. We're like, oh, national treasure.
Kenny Omega's amazing.
I don't know what they're putting in the water up in Canada to get us, to get these people.
What's your favorite part about Kenny Omega? Answer, his hair. I've loved him ever since I saw him, and I didn't think he would get this big.
Oh, yeah.
I really didn't. I remember he did that match with the little girl.
He wrestled the 9-year-old.
Yeah, he wrestles a 9-year-old. Yeah, Allie, a 9-year-old.
And so. She's like 16 and wants a rematch. That's awesome. And his response was a tweet with just the terrified, like, hands on the face, Home Alone scream emoji.
Oh, he's too good.
I still love the Terminator thing where the Young Bucks are around the ring doing the dun 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 dun, and he just like slowly stands up and then does the suicide dive. Yeah. He's so good.
Bullet Club had a great week because Omega 1 G1, Adam Cole is the new Ring of Honor World Champion. He beat Lethal. AJ Styles won his match against Cena. Young Bucks won in Tokyo.
Which we'll talk about that.
And then
technically Gallows Anderson beat New Day.
And there was that fantastic, and Finn Balor.
And Finn Balor won the Universal,
There was that great moment at SummerSlam where Gallows, Anderson, and AJ Styles are standing together, and Finn Balor
yucking
walks
it up,
in.
Just going. Yeah. And they, Balor just looks embarrassed.
And they all do the, sign, or the, I guess you would call it the Bullet Club sign now. Yeah. And Finn Balor just kind of smiles and walks off. That was such a good moment. And they didn't, like, no one acknowledged it.
No, yeah.
The commentators didn't go, oh, Finn Balor led
Japan. He started the,
So that made it even better.
Because it was funny, because I went, oh, and then you just like, did you hear the crowd do the same thing Dalton did?
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I know you're, we can talk about it more with the actual match, but Finn Balor doesn't actually, or his, he had his surgery today.
That was the last thing I was going to talk about. Yeah. The whole reason that Finn Balor, he won the title at SummerSlam, and unfortunately, I don't know how to say this without sounding bitter about it. Because
injured, he was injured during the match,
and the same move that injured Sting injured Balor, the power bomb against for Sting it was against the turnbuckle for Balor it was when he got powerbombed to the barricade,
and technically it's the same move that injured Rollins.
See, no, it's not because
he did
the sunset flip over
bomb.
Set it up. It's just that whole move it has ruined people for a while.
Well, it's hurt two people, and in wrestling, except for that Lesnar Orton match. Everything's an accident when you hurt somebody for real.
Yeah.
So I don't blame. I was going to talk about this a little bit later, but let's just get into it now. Do you blame Seth Rollins for this? Do you tell him to stop doing that move at this point?
Stop doing the move, yes, but I don't think you blame him.
Clearly, he didn't intentionally mean to hurt anybody.
Yeah, and especially because it's like if you look at it, maybe he was too far back because Rollins is the one who turns to try to catch himself. So it looks like he's trying to check and see where he is. He thought he was going to be higher up, like closer to the barricade. So he was just going to like catch himself there and fall back.
Balor turned.
So, but instead he could only catch the one arm, which not only did he dislocate there, he just popped it back into place and proceeded to wrestle another, 10, 15 minutes?
The tough son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That's Irish blood.
Yeah, that's nuts. So just crazy respect to Balor.
And unfortunately now, oh God, it was such a good story. He won the title. His debut on Raw. He gets in the tournament. He gets to the finals. He wins the title at SummerSlam. The Demon King. I hate that term, but God love Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. And now he's hurt.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Cut a really good promo on Monday too, talking about how the first thing he does as soon as he's back, he's coming back for that championship. And
I hope that's the case, but I always worry that they're going to.
They cool off on him because he got hurt.
When they're gone. Now, somebody like Triple H, when he got hurt, remember he tore his quad, he was back and immediately just kicking ass all over again. So I hope they let Finn Balor do something.
I mean, and Seth Rollins did too.
Yeah.
You know.
Nikki Bella did.
Yeah, but Seth Rollins, wasn't that more of a case of, I'm trying to remember my timeline, tell me if I get it wrong, but when he came back, that was right when Reigns was, like the whole reason he won, no, I can't even think what I was going to say.
Well, because he was immediately put in the main event, the championship storyline. He beat beat Reigns in his first pay-per-view back to win the title, but that's when Dean Ambrose cashed in.
Because Reigns got popped. Yeah. And so Rollins may not have won that match otherwise to set up Ambrose taking the title. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
It doesn't matter. It's speculation.
That's something that I would very much be interested in seeing how they
originally planned it.
Yeah.
Like when Reigns won originally was because Rollins got hurt.
Yeah.
And the original plan, from what I understand, was to have Rollins drop the title to Reigns.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyway. But it looks so much better when he came back vengeful because he wanted his title back.
Right.
You know? Well, now he is going to go on to fight
the winner of
the tournament right now.
Yeah, they're doing the tournament.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Well, there's a fatal four-way on Monday.
And that's going to determine who wins the belt, I think.
Oh, so yeah, because
it's
vacant.
Going to the pay-per-view?
Yeah, it's vacant.
So whoever wins the fatal four-way out of Rollins, Cass,
Reigns, and Owens.
So my obvious answer for that is that they're going to put the title back on Rollins because it makes more sense.
Or Reigns.
Well, my bet is they're going to put it on Rollins because it's always better to have the heel and the face chase.
Yeah.
My fear is that they're going to put it on Reigns because they still want you to know
he's
the man.
You can just skip right over that United States feud that was stupid.
My biggest fear is that they're going to put it on Cass.
I don't know.
I think they might go for the shock.
I'll eat 50 jalapenos
All right. You like, heard
I'll
him
go
right
full,
then.
I'll go full Zach Price.
50 jalapenos if Big Cass wins on Monday.
Yep.
That is a bet. Kodu, sign it into existence. Are you actually going to eat him with that?
I mean, I never said how long it would take me.
Over the course of 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
You will munch those down.
Like, it won't happen. Well,
I'll get
but
a text message. Be like, hey, I finally got that 50th down. Be like, I am 55 years old.
Yep.
We're not going to bore you with all of the SummerSlam results. Nope. Mainly because, I mean, go watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've got 5 hours to kill.
Yeah. Just go watch it. Put it on the background. Just make sure you watch the. Watch Takeover, but make sure you watch the AJ Styles and John Cena match. Yeah. I do want to talk about that because that match.
Do you want to just run through Takeover real quick and then we can burn through SummerSlam? Cause that's going to be the
main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or, well, before Takeover then, on SmackDown, after SmackDown, they've done a show on the network.
Talking Smack.
Which is kind of like
their version of the
recap
Talking
show.
Dead.
Yeah. Which is kind of like a recap show, which it's Renee Young and Daniel Bryan. It's actually been really entertaining. This week, two pretty big things happened. One much bigger than the other. The first one, Nikki Bella kind of comes out and, does an interview talk up her return, things like that. Carmella sneaks up behind her and smashes her head against into the table and just to really cement that Carmella is bad now, Nikki is good now. But it was well done. It was entertaining. And it's cool that they actually are doing storyline stuff on, they're continuing storyline stuff on, the after show.
And not only that, but that Nikki Bella has a storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the women's division, from what I read, there's a lot of people saying that even though Raw has the title right now, mm-hmm. SmackDown has done a better job of incorporating all of the women into their storyline.
Yeah.
Whereas Raw, it's just Charlotte and it's just
but it's also,
whoever she's fighting.
Even though Raw has the actual WWE Women's Championship, SmackDown has all the divas.
True. Sans 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It's really bad. I still feel like they should have gone with one. One show has the cruiserweight. One show has the women's division.
The way it used to be.
Yeah.
Would have made more sense. But I am glad that they're doing angles on there. And even though I'm not excited for Carmella versus Nikki, mm-hmm. I'm excited that they have something to do.
Which, I mean, and it kind of opens up the possibility that, yeah, Nikki seems like the obvious choice to win that six-pack challenge.
But maybe she won't if she's feuding with Carmella.
Yeah, Carmella costs it. Maybe that's the first feud coming out of that. Like, there's a lot of different things they could do with it.
Give and Becky Lynch the title.
Please.
Please just give her the title. She's earned it. Also on Smack, Talking Smack, and this is the big one.
Someone turned heel in the women's division, but not against Becky. Historic moment.
And they weren't friends with her and then betrayed her.
Yeah.
That girl really needs to
reevaluate some
reevaluate
things.
Reevaluate her life. The other thing on Talking Smack that is all over the news.
Yeah.
This is huge. You wouldn't think this would be so big.
No.
Because it was just an angle done on a recap show. But when I got up this morning, I had messages about it. People were posting on Facebook about it. My mm-hmm. Facebook top stories, it was in it.
Yeah.
It was all over the place. So Daniel Bryan is on the show.
Yeah.
Miz gets on the show complaining about not being respected as the Intercontinental Champion. And it seemed to be, and you've confirmed this is a work now, right?
It's not confirmed. Like, it's clearly,
it's a work shoot at best.
It has to be like a pipe bomb thing where it's a work shoot where it's like, okay, you have frustrations. Here you go.
And I believe that, but it's so weird that they would do that on this show and not the main show.
See, but also Daniel Bryan's reaction.
Not only that, Miz's reaction. So here's what happened. Daniel Bryan.
He just interrupts the show. Like, wasn't a segment. He wasn't a guest.
Yeah.
Him and Maurice come up
now,
with microphones.
You could tell that was fake. Or that was worked.
Yeah,
that was worked that he came on there.
They just came up with live microphones.
And, and music played. And like Heath Slater every week. So they come up and, Daniel Bryan said, they cut this thing back and forth about showing respect to the Intercontinental Champion. And it seems to be going like just a normal promo. And then Daniel Bryan says something that I feel is as close to this as a shoot as anything Miz said. He said that when he was on the Indies and he was trying to think of a creative character who was just the, you know, epitome.
The WWE style, soft
style character. It's you. You're a coward. And
you wrestle like a coward.
And Miz launched into this tirade that was so believable. I told Ali this. You could tell when he's talking. One, his eyes are getting glossy.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting wet. He's so angry. And as he talks, he's pointing. His hand is shaking a little.
Yeah, there's emotion there.
There was real emotion there.
Like, Miz is already amazing on the microphone. But man, I don't know if he's that good for this to be totally not.
He's never shown character like this before. Ever. How long has Miz been in WWE?
Like almost 10 years now.
And he's always been good, like you said, but never has he shown this level
of intensity.
And the way he yelled and ranted and made good points.
And that's the thing too, is it's like, man, you're being just the biggest dick right now.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong.
He was almost pulling a John Cena Rock, where John Cena was critical of The Rock for saying, I love the fans, but not showing up. Mm-hmm. And he was there day in and day out. And as he told, I mean, go listen to it. You can find it on YouTube. I was going to put it on here, but that might get us pulled if we put something like that.
Yeah, that's actually valid.
So go on YouTube, look up Miz Talking Smack, and you can find it. It's on there.
Yeah.
But he says something to him about how his style is weak. His style is cowardly.
I've been here for 10 years, week in, week out. I have not once been hurt.
Yeah.
I have never been injured. Look at you.
Now,
look at you, Daniel Bryan.
Take what Ace is saying and multiply it intensely.
Oh yeah, I don't want to be screaming,
right?
Or on the verge of tears, of angry tears.
But he was.
Yeah.
And not only the way he was talking, but the way Maryse was reacting.
Maryse, who was holding a microphone but never said a word,
she looked uncomfortable. Renee Young looked uncomfortable.
The thing that makes me think that this is entirely a work was Renee Young's reaction was pretty much the same as when Carmella attacked Nikki.
This isn't what this is for.
Just like,
don't
hey, and she even tried to interrupt, like, okay, hey, calm down. And Miz turns and says, no, this is between me and him. Love the show, by the way.
But he screams it. And he puts his finger in Daniel Bryan's face and says, I need to talk to you right now.
Yeah.
Because you called me a coward.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he really set Miz off with that coward comment. And then I feel in turn, Miz set him off with the whole, you love wrestling so much, then quit.
Go wrestle your indie friends in bingo halls.
Oh my God, that was intense.
The way it ended with Daniel, not even ended, but midway through, Daniel Bryan, who was very clearly upset.
Yeah.
He's better on the microphone than people will give him credit for. I don't know if he's this good. Because he genuinely looks like someone just punted a puppy in the face.
Because even if he knew it was going to happen...
Someone just ordered a blue steak in front of him.
The topic would... Especially with how much he does love wrestling, the topic would probably still...
He wanted to completely separate himself from wrestling because of how upset he was that he couldn't do it. And he even says, like, if they would let me, I would come back in a heartbeat.
Which Miz attacked and said.
And that's when he said, go quit.
Yeah.
And so
I was wondering, I knew he wouldn't say it. And I think if it was a complete shoot, he may have even said something like, do what Kurt Angle did. They won't let you wrestle. Quit. Go wrestle for TNA.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else. Yeah.
But then, so Daniel Bryan just walks off. Yeah. Like he just finishes, he just leaves. He doesn't say anything. He just leaves. Miz then picks up the Intercontinental Championship and goes to camera. Put the camera on me. Put that camera on me right now. And just delivers the craziest promo, like
eyes wet.
Yeah,
yells about how he loves the fans.
He's there every day.
The
fans every week. It is.
So if this is a shoot at all, I was telling Ace, I was like, if this is a shoot, they need to be sent to the principal's office. They need to set Bryan, Renee, and Miz, all three of them down, and be like, all right, this can't happen again.
Yeah, I wonder what the situation was like backstage when Miz walked off. I'm assuming
because you can even I very much doubt the full version is on the YouTube is on
it's not
the
it's
WWE
only about 4 minutes.
YouTube.
No,
and this was like a 7-8 minute thing. But when he walks off, you can hear him yell "shit," just like off mic. Just oh man,
when he got back to Daniel Bryan, what was that like?
Yeah,
what was that like? That had to be the most awkward because it was a work. It's one of those things. There was a time when Jesse and I was working the chat, and we were making fun of that.
Yeah.
We were making fun of each other back and forth, and then Jesse said he wanted to say something super mean, but he didn't want to because he didn't want me to be actually upset. And I said, go for it. And what he said was super mean.
Super uncomfortable.
So I imagine even if this was a work, when Miz got back there and he looked at Daniel Bryan in the eyes, he probably thought, if it was a work, I'm sorry.
It's one of those things where remember when Paige was feuding with Charlotte and she talked about how too bad your brother wasn't tough enough to...
Yeah.
It had to be one of those moments where it's like, okay, I maybe don't necessarily want to say this, but here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And
if it was a shoot, then
Miz is over. If Miz loses the Intercontinental Championship on Tuesday, this could either be the springboard that he needs to completely refresh his character, which is already amazing.
Yeah.
And go like, that's a main event level. Like that's why he headlined WrestleMania 27.
Well, they have to run with it though. They have to run with it. The reason that CM Punk's pipe bomb worked so well, you know, the infamous pipe bomb, because they ran with it.
Yeah.
They didn't just immediately put him back in opening matches.
Yeah.
They let him, But he still got to do the CM Punk thing, though. Yeah. Like, he was CM Punk at that point. He was made man. Mm-hmm. So if they run with this, that could make Miz a made man. And do you wonder, I don't think this is possible, but if Daniel Bryan is as healthy as they say he is, but just couldn't get the clearance at the time, could this be leading to that IC match?
Like, I would love that. I would so much love for a Miz, because, like, how could Daniel Bryan say that to his mentor? Like, that's just...
There's so much history between the two. Yeah, there's so
much. It's like, what's he going to do next? Dive through a barbershop glass out of fear? Just, disgusting.
I get that reference.
But no, so like, I would absolutely love to see, because Miz brings up during that promo, this is the last belt you held. This is the championship you wanted to reestablish.
You said, you promised a year ago, you promised that you would come back after a year and win the title back. You promised, I promise. And you didn't.
Oh, man. Watch it.
Watch that promo. Best promo I've seen in a long time.
Promo of the year.
And this has been a week of good promos. That AJ Styles promo on SmackDown was phenomenal.
The face that runs the place. Demon King. Face that runs the place. Hey guys, I'm the face that runs the place.
Durner. So yeah, go watch that Miz promo because it's really good. We can't talk about it too much though. We've only got about 10 minutes left and there's one other important thing that we have to talk about. So just real quick from TakeOver, there were a couple of really big things. And we're not going to go over the SummerSlam because
the only real thing I wanted to talk about TakeOver was go watch that tag match.
The tag match was really good.
If it wasn't for the AJ Styles Cena match, that would be my match of the weekend.
Plus, Ember Moon debuted. And I feel that's important to say. Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you more about that because you didn't like that match.
I didn't because, and I don't want to say that, oh, well, some people on the internet agreed with me, but some people on the internet agreed with me. And the problem I had with that match was for Ember Moon's debut, it felt too much like it was it just felt too competitive, but I get what they're going for.
Right.
They want to show, hey, our division is competitive. Mm-hmm. So a new person's not just going to come in and steamroll over somebody, which is good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I almost feel like they should have found someone unimportant and just have Ember Moon really show off, wow, look how good I am. That was my problem with it. Yeah. I just thought it was too competitive.
And it's definitely possible that they can do that on the NXT shows, but like with TakeOver, with a big debut on that kind of like pay-per-view setting, for lack of a better word, I would much rather see a competitive match. Because Bobby Roode debuted,
The only thing with that, I mean, this is very small, mm-hmm. but at least Bobby Roode and, what is his name? Because I was
Andrade Cien Almas.
Almas. When he fought him, they had already talked to each other. They had cut a promo on each other. They had been in the ring together and mm-hmm. seen each other face to face. No one had seen Ember Moon at this point. This was her grandstand debut. Yeah. No one had seen her at all. So what you do is you have her come in and wrestle a 10-minute match against Billie Kay.
It
was a good match. I'm not taking anything away from Billie Kay, but it almost would have been better if
she was on SmackDown
a couple months ago.
Good for her. That Ember Moon finisher, by the way.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Also, Ember Moon does the Sailor Moon hand gesture.
Right.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Tag match was great. Bayley left. And then we have to mention it real quick. Nakamura beat Samoa Joe for the world title.
Potentially, I haven't seen this. Like, everything that I've seen, like, says that Joe dislocated his jaw.
Yeah, that's
Joe
what I heard.
Tweeted it.
Yeah. He tweeted it,
is it a gimmick?
But yeah, but that might just be the reason that he maybe takes a week or two off. Cause this NXT episode that was tonight was like we filmed the dark match beforehand, cause they were still in Brooklyn, and then they did video package highlights of the actual show.
Right.
So
it's unconfirmed right now that he has a broken jaw.
I think a broken jaw is usually 3 to 6 weeks. So.
Yeah.
When I had my jaw broken, it only took a couple days.
I really hope that it's a storyline, and because I don't want Joe to be hurt.
Especially not because of Nakamura.
Yeah.
All these guys coming in from that Japan and just hurting people.
King of Strong style.
And it was a good match. I did not get to see it, unfortunately. Personal issues, you know.
You had to leave.
Personal is more important than seeing Nakamura win, because I knew Nakamura was going to win.
I didn't. I was surprised. I was actually surprised, but.
And then SummerSlam happened on Sunday. It was another good show. Not great. Good. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I think that's a fair score.
Yeah.
The match of the night and match of the weekend, in my opinion, AJ Styles versus John Cena. For all the criticism we give WWE when they do something wrong, mm-hmm. this time they did something right.
Yeah.
They had AJ Styles go over clean in a fantastic match.
Amazing match.
John Cena is a workhorse. He's a hoss. I hate the fans that chant against him just because he's John Cena.
Yeah.
I hope it's done ironically and not out of actual spite. Yeah. Because if you truly look at John Cena and go, you're terrible, you're an idiot.
Like the Kurt Angle, you suck.
Yeah.
Chants.
Yeah. I can't see a single person looking at John Cena and actually hating him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Crazy. Like AJ Styles. I mean, both of them prove why they are easily considered some of the best in the world right now.
Yeah, and that
just hands down.
John Cena versus AJ Styles could go down as one of the best feuds for John Cena.
Every single time I see the AA reversed into the, like, he lands on his feet into the Pele kick straight away. So good.
It's a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
And the whole match was crisp. It was clean. It was really good. Go out of your way to see it.
Yeah.
Easily match of the year candidate, in my opinion.
100%.
And then some other stuff happened on SummerSlam. Go watch it. It was a 5-hour show. We got 5 minutes. We can't recap all that.
Right.
So go watch it, or at least look up the results. Make sure you see that match. And what I want to talk about, the last thing, hear this? It's me balling up the notes.
Put so much work into that. And you missed.
And yeah. A miss. Okay. So the main event. Let's talk about the main event. Because if you were excited for Balor versus Rollins in the main event like we were, it didn't happen.
Or even Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler, which you knew that wasn't going to be, but it's the WWE Championship, so it should be.
But in case you were wondering what's more important, Raw or SmackDown, SmackDown's main event was early in the show.
SmackDown's main event was about... was about 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was middle.
And just in case you were wondering what's more important, Raw or Brock Lesnar... Brock Lesnar took the main event.
Before you jump that one, in case you think who's more important, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, or Roman Reigns, the U.S. title match came after the Universal Championship.
You say match.
Or Roman Reigns' assault of
Roman Reigns,
Rusev.
Almost illegal assault of Rusev for defending his wife's honor.
Yeah, how dare he.
How is Roman still a face at this point?
How is Roman still a thing?
Stubbornness.
Vince McMahon turned 71 today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Vince.
Vinny
Mac. Also, Bobby Roode debuted on TakeOver.
That's what we said. We talked about
that. Did we say that?
Yeah.
Because you were talking about the difference because they had...
Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't really say it.
It was his in-ring debut. Yeah.
It was glorious.
With the elevator.
Yeah. So Lesnar fought Orton in the main event.
And I'm so disappointed. They could have actually had a match, but instead, oh, look, suplex, suplex.
Can I say something I thought I'd never say? Can I just say it right now? I'm bored of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. No. 100%.
When your match is consistent, because I get the whole he's just going to decimate him. That's fine.
Right.
I'll pay to see Brock Lesnar.
He knows more than one suplex.
He knows how to do more than a German suplex. And it's not fun anymore to just go 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Suplex City is all just all those like, it's just a bunch of townhouses. It's those cookie cutter McMansions.
Yeah.
Because it's all just the same.
It's boring and I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
and it only takes one RKO. Except it took one on the table, the DDT through the ropes, a second RKO, and he still kicked out.
He had a drop kick.
That was his four moves, by the way.
Yeah.
And the entire match
Some punches.
Yeah.
And some punches to his back whenever he charged him in the corner.
I said this when we were watching it. The match reminded me of a 2K match, you know, WWE 2K, where you put the opponent on Ultra Legend, but you set your finishers to infinite. Because that's all Randy Orton hit were finishers and the occasional, signature move.
Yeah.
And, after taking an ass whooping for the entire match and then hitting two RKOs, which didn't pin Lesnar, by the way, Lesnar hits him with an F5. He kicks out and I go, okay, so at least they're making it even where Orton is going to kick out of Lesnar too. Then to me, the unthinkable happened.
The gloves come off.
The gloves come off. And in one of the most.
He literally takes off his fight gloves.
Yeah. And one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen on WWE television. And I mean this. This is not me trying to be funny. This was absolutely appalling.
I hated it.
Brock Lesnar proceeds to elbow Randy Orton in the head repeatedly, hard.
He hit two straight elbows.
Well, first he started just punching him.
Which was bad.
Like just close fist, just punching him. And not only punching him in the head, he did a couple stiff shots to Orton's shoulder.
Yeah.
Which for those keeping score at home, this is Orton's first pay-per-view back after 9 months with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, and he hit
that
a
he's
lot
injured
of shots.
Before.
A lot of shots to the shoulder.
And then he
hard
did the two elbows,
shots.
Just legit UFC MMA elbows to the forehead that opened Orton up like a Christmas present.
And you can tell which one it was too. There's one where he hits him and Orton just turns because it hurts so bad.
It was the first one. Yeah. The first one cut him. Cause I even said, that's gonna cut him. Cause it's the same thing that he did for, Extreme Rules 2002. Whenever he opened up Cena.
But that was an accident.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that was an accident.
At this point, maybe.
Well, who knows?
Because I even said, I told you, I was like, I watched all of Lesnar's UFC fights. I would never consider him to be a precision striker.
Yeah,
the two times he's needed to open somebody up.
The
first
only
shot.
Reason that Randy Orton is still alive probably is that Lesnar is such a shitty striker.
That's just not true at all. So Orton is literally in a pool of his own blood.
Which we saw as we're watching it. I remember saying, I think he's cut.
Yeah.
Because you saw a little blood on his head within seconds.
It's
a pool.
So then the referee and the medics go to check on him. Brock Lesnar then shoves all of them away, gets back on top of Orton, and proceeds to continue punching his head and shoulder.
This
happens twice. He pushes away two more times. Yeah, he does that, I think, a total of three times.
I think so.
Yeah.
The referee finally calls for the bell. And
Lesnar's DQ'd, right?
So Lesnar's finally DQ'd for putting his hands on officials and not stopping when the referee tells him. He's clearly saying, get off of him, get off of him.
Yeah.
No, Lesnar wins by TKO, which is why I'm not 100% sure. Like, Orton has come forward and said, I knew what I was getting into.
And that's the problem. Okay, that's what I want to talk about. Because if that is true, and from all accounts, that's what was supposed to happen.
Right.
The only thing they didn't plan on was it being so much blood.
Yeah.
But they told Brock Lesnar to go out there and hit him so hard in the head that it busted him open. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that could be a legitimate, like,
head injury. That could be a head injury. Because if you're elbowing somebody in the face hard enough to bust them open, you're talking about possible brain damage.
Yeah, it's like you can get a concussion like that.
Yeah. Now, I'm not defending it. Where
you better not.
No. All I'm saying is, where the cut happened, it was on the squishiest part of the head, like the most protected, and it was on a well-irrigated part of the head where a lot of blood comes out. That's when I made the comment about the precision striking, is that, no, it was super unsafe, and it never needs to happen again.
And I'm going to talk about that. Allie, you chomped up to say something.
Because I was saying that with cuts like that, because of where it was,
yeah,
getting the bleeding to stop is also difficult.
Yeah, and I mean 10 staples. And again, I'm not defending it. What I will say is if it was planned, he put that cut right where it needed to be.
And thank God he did, because what if he had missed?
Yeah.
Right.
What if something had gone wrong? Now, you're probably thinking, well, this is wrestling. They do this all the time where they hurt each other, quote unquote, but it's all a show. No. This is not that.
No. This wasn't a blade in the wrist tape. This wasn't
I'm going to slam you down and cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was not one of those planned spots where it's like, well, they hurt each other. They do dangerous moves all the time. The point of wrestling is to make it look bad and not hurt somebody.
Right.
The point of this was to hit him so hard that his head busted open. Yeah. And if that is true that they made that call, they should be investigated, because that is putting your workers at danger. Workers who don't have a union, by the way,
right,
because they won't let them unionize.
Have to pay their own medical bills.
This is ridiculous. This is one of the most disgusting things they've ever done.
And so in real life, it's disgusting and terrible. In storyline, it's even worse, because so Randy Orton Lesnar shoves away officials three separate times.
Including after the match. After he was declared the winner, he did it again.
So that's when Shane McMahon comes out, gets in Lesnar's face. Lesnar drops him with an RK, or with a F5, and Shane then rolls into Randy Orton's pool of blood. Shane McMahon being the commissioner of SmackDown, the show Brock Lesnar's not even on, which I also kind of mentioned in previous episodes, like, oh great, it's a cross brand match already. Whatever. Shane McMahon, the commissioner of SmackDown, the person in charge of the entire show, just gets manhandled by a wrestler. On Raw, you get Stephanie McMahon just saying, oh, there will be consequences. There will be harsh consequences.
And there were, Tanner.
And that's it. Well, and then that's it. Like, that's what they left it at SmackDown. That's all they said. So yeah, great. More vague threats of consequences that'll probably never happen. Oh no, they announced it. $500 fine. But not for assaulting Shane. For busting open Randy Orton, Lesnar has to pay a $500 fine.
And the worst penalty of all is that now we are almost guaranteed to be subjected to Brock Lesnar's next match.
Yeah.
Versus Shane McMahon.
By the way, for all you people that are complaining, oh, I'm bored by Brock Lesnar-Randy Orton matchup. No, that could have been an awesome match. Clearly it wasn't. You're going to be more excited about Shane McMahon.
The most viable threat to The Undertaker's legacy ever.
Yeah.
Ever!
The worst thing. The worst thing.
And you know what's funny about the $500 thing? Is if you listen to Batista and Chris Jericho talk about the one time they bladed on a house show after they said no, it was literally like $250,000 is how much that they were fined.
That's what pisses me off most about this. They cut blading out, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. There's no blading. There's no juicing.
Good.
There's no blood.
Which good, yeah.
Thanks.
Good.
Yeah.
You know what else they don't do? They don't do chair shots to the head.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do...
It's almost like they're concerned that a vicious strike to the head, unprotected, could result in some major brain damage.
They don't do pile drivers. They don't do a lot of moves that could damage the head, like you said. So instead, you're going to send Brock Lesnar out, a UFC fighter who then proceeds to elbow him in the head as hard as he can to draw blood, which forms a pool of blood.
Mm-hmm.
That was your idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you know Orton got paid for that.
Like, I don't care.
No, it's not worth it. But you know good and well that, like, Orton being who he is,
Vince just owes him one, pal.
Oh, I hope that's not the case. Oh, I hope he didn't give him a punk.
So Randy Orton, you know, say he suffered brain damage. Say Lesnar hit him
so
hard.
What if he got a concussion? What if he was concussed after that match?
Then who pays the penalty on that? Can they touch Vince McMahon? Because I really wish they could. I really wish someone would investigate this, because that, you don't go to like Law and Order and them say, well, we need reality for the scene, so we really want you to shoot this guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's just in the shoulder. It won't kill you.
Yeah, it's
just, and we'll pay you some extra money. No, that's not how things happen.
No. And so one of the best things to come out of this, which it's not, was, so this match happens, that ending happens. Chris Jericho, who's watching in the back.
Is that what you were going to say,
Alan?
Yeah,
I was going to bring that up.
Charges up to Gorilla, and as the producer, who everyone assumes is Michael Hayes.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to happen? Was that the finish? And they completely blow him off. So
then, for whatever reason, we don't know why.
He gets louder, and his, that's disgusting. You cannot do that. Lesnar comes back in through the curtain, overhears something, mishears him, thinks he's being called names or insulted in some way, gets in Jericho's face. Jericho gets right back in Lesnar's face, gets him up against a wall, allegedly, which that's when Lesnar shoves Jericho back up against a different wall, says, punch me or kiss me, and proceeds to say a number of things that allegedly, if it actually gets out what Lesnar said to Jericho, WWE's looking at some real trouble.
Be a star.
Be a star,
Hulk
WWE.
Hulk Hogan was blacklisted from the WWE, and say what you will about Hulk Hogan, we
By
always
the way,
have.
Gawker shut down this week.
God bless him. But Hogan banned from WWE for something he said 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar, their goddamn golden boy
Trying
that apparently doesn't follow any rules.
Definitely not doping rules.
Not doping rules, not etiquette backstage. He pushes Jericho around, threatens to fight him. And what did Jericho do? He stood up for a fellow wrestler who he thought was seriously hurt.
He was legitimately hurt. And it took Vince McMahon and Triple H both getting between.
And not only that, but Vince McMahon, from what they said,
told Chris Jericho to be more professional.
Got in Jericho's face, and Triple H had to be the one to tell him, no, he was defending himself.
Yeah.
God bless Chris Jericho.
Yeah,
that man is
the true paragon of virtue.
That man is a star.
That story genuinely cemented that all-time favorite.
Yeah.
The point with that story that I liked, because it kind of goes back to your comments about the wrestling fans are going, oh, they do this all the time, they get hurt. No, here is a professional wrestler saying this isn't okay.
Yeah, the guy's laying there in a puddle of blood. A puddle of blood. From his head, that they apparently said, no, that's how it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
The blood was 100% unnecessary. You can have the finish of Orton just going limp and unresponsive and not covering properly and pulling Lesnar away, because that's an actual TKO.
Yeah.
If they want to try to do these UFC bullshit rules, then do it that way. There is zero reason to make Orton go through that.
Yeah. And I think we said this on the show. If they are trying to do this bullshit UFC TKO stuff, you know what happens if a UFC fighter hits a fighter after he's been declared knocked out?
He's, the match is overturned and he is fired and fined.
Horribly. Yeah. But Brock Lesnar, I swear to Christ, is the Donald Trump of WWE. He could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and get away with it.
Yeah. Vince, it wouldn't be the first time Vince tried to cover up a murder.
No, it is not. And Lesnar, not only has he been outspoken against WWE, not only has he spit in the face of their policies.
He can go on TV and say, I don't give a shit about Stephanie McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And what is his consequences? Nothing. He's back in, where does he live? Minnesota?
Saskatchewan now?
No, he lives in Canada.
Canada? Of course he does. Of course he does. He's back in Canada right now with his supermodel wife, drinking a jar of moonshine, I assume, because he's one of those, you know, hill people.
He's a white boy that's jacked.
Yeah,
deal with it.
Which, the fact that he's got two drugs that prevent the side effects, that lessen side effects of steroids, is totally irrelevant.
And while he is doing that, living the good life with his super sweet deal where he only has to make 6 appearances per year, now Randy Orton, who could have died, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate concern.
Could have died. Now has to reestablish himself as a fighter because he just got his ass handed to him by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that's fine.
With no repercussions.
He's going to beat up a god.
He sure will.
He's going to beat up Bray Wyatt.
And then what it looks like they're building this toward, the reason Randy Orton almost had to die and lose his credibility was for Shane McMahon to once again be the hero of wrestling.
To be fair, Shane didn't beat Undertaker.
No, but that match should never have happened. And we
no,
said
it
that
definitely
before.
Shouldn't have.
The Undertaker should not fight Shane McMahon. In Undertaker's defense, he's old.
Yeah.
Like, that's legitimate. Undertaker is, what, 50 plus? So it's almost believable that Shane McMahon could have a chance against Undertaker now.
Right.
Brock Lesnar is in the prime of his life. has been portrayed as the ass-kicking gladiator that no one can hurt. Mm-hmm. If Shane, I've said this before with Undertaker, if Shane McMahon lands one punch on Brock Lesnar that hurts him, I will eat my hat.
Hat looks like a McDouble.
The hat looks like a Whopperito. And I don't want to eat that. We have to go. We're out of time. If there's anything you take away from this show, other than the good stuff that happened this week.
Because there was a lot of good stuff.
There was a lot of good stuff. And we give the WWE so much shit constantly when they do stupid things.
Because mostly deserved.
But it's all from a storyline. We're wrestling fans and we don't like this story. We could do it better. But what they did on SummerSlam should be criminal.
And honestly, like, if that's what he did to Randy Orton, I don't want to see what he does to Shane McMahon.
Because Shane is crazy. Shane is crazy. Shane he is will the type take
of,
the beating.
Shane is 100% the type of person like, no, yeah, just cut me open with an elbow. It's fine.
Yeah. But you shouldn't do that.
No.
That should
be illegal. I'm genuinely concerned. Like, honestly, and this is my prediction, I think Brock Lesnar is legitimately going to break his arm.
Just like he's going to put him in the core lock and break his arm.
Yeah, he's
going to
put it and he's going to legitimately break Shane's arm. And Shane is going to just be like, okay, just go ahead and.
And that's going to be a shoulder. If it's a Kimura, that's going to be a shoulder.
Brock Lesnar is better than this. I don't know how I'm saying this.
No, he is. Like,
he deserves better than to be treated like a sideshow attraction with one move. But at the same time, from maybe it's his character blending in with reality.
Agreeing
to do that. And his attitude that he seems to show in press junkets and of interviews, his attitude is so poor.
Attitude is so bad. And it's crazy because half the time he's like legitimately like kind of just a soft-spoken, like super nice guy. You have the interviews that, like, the one he did on Up, Up, Down, Down with Paul Heyman, talking about bootios. Brock Lesnar said the word bootios. What?
Before he hit a guy in the head with an elbow so hard he bludgeoned him.
Right. Or, like, that pre-fight UFC or the post-fight UFC speech that he gave.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe he's actually, like, Schrodinger's douchebag.
Brock Lesnar.
You don't know what he's going to be until he says or does something.
And you know what that is when you have a loose cannon that you're hoping won't hurt someone for real? That's a liability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is dangerous.
Yeah.
And he should not be wrestling.
No. There's just no excuse for that ending.
And Vince McMahon should not be controlling it. Vince McMahon should be investigated. He should be, there should be a criminal investigation. That's it. That's the final thing I gotta say.
Yeah.
So let's get out of here. We're gonna wrap this up for this week. Next week we'll be back with Dalton's apology.
What?
Maybe we can get Vince McMahon to apologize too for being a shitty person. I doubt it. Hopefully he won't make it to 72. Hopefully. Asa, Dalton, Allie, thanks for being here. Tomorrow we got Tanner Thursday. We're going to be talking about school. It's back to school, and we're going to share some stories from college. We're going to talk about school movies. I may go to school tomorrow just to see what it's like. I don't know. Investigative journalism was never my strong point. But we'll be back tomorrow with that. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. See you tomorrow. Have a good night. Dalton, tell Allie to tell Asa to take us out.
Hey, Allie, tell Asa to take us out.
Asa, take us out.
Why, Brock?